good evening. It's Friday and I'm back. Thank you for joining me for the 18th episode in the Detour series. This is the last episode as we bring 2020 to a close. We have a lot to be thankful for this year. I'm Taruna Seth, Navigator-in-Chief and Co-Founder at Encompass Experiences. We are a conscious travel group that specializes in curating immersive journeys within India and all across the world. In the Detour series, I have been talking to some amazing people, mavericks from different walks of life, hospitality thought leaders, conscious thought leaders, and some amazing humans about their life journeys. Today's guest is the fabulous Ashika Khanna. She's a director at Ananda in the Himalayas, our homegrown go-to wellness retreat that is voted time and time again as the best of the best in the world. Ashika is the fourth generation hotelier and has been heading strategic alliances and new openings for the IHHR Hospitality Group. She presently leads operations and business development for the company's Ananda Destination Spa brand. So without further ado, let me bring her on. Hi everyone, I'm just getting Ashika on. Hi Ashika, are you there? Can you see me? I can't seem to add you. We have Ashika Khanna of the Ananda Ananda Spa in the Himalayas. Hi Arjun, I'm trying to get, wow, Instagram has changed some settings here. Hi Ashika, if you can hear me, can you send me a request? I can't seem to add you right now. Hi Madhuri, hi everybody. Any idea, guys, has Instagram changed something? Why can't I add her? All right, let's try this. Okay, I think she should be here shortly. Hi, I see you. Can you, Ashika, I just sent you a request. Can you join? Hi guys, thanks for your patience. I'm just waiting for Ashika Khanna to join in. She's joining in from the Ananda handle. Hi, Nats. Oh Lord. Yeah, I already asked her to send me a request. We're just waiting for Ashika to join. Hey Ashika. So guys, how's everybody doing? All right. I think she's... Hey Ankit. Hi Ashika.
Hi Taruna, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Sorry, there was some trouble joining. It wasn't
really no problem. No problem. So, how's it been? We're in December of 2020.
Good. Sorry, I'm just going to turn the volume up a little bit. It's been a mixed bag sort of a year. I have to say, not all gloom and doom. Some positive things I think have come out of it, but hopefully it's all behind us now.
I know as we come to a close, you know, as 2020 is coming to a close, we all hope 2021 is going to be a spectacular. I mean, we have really high expectations, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
After 2020 we have really high expectations. Absolutely. So Ashika, walk us through your personal journey, where you grew up. I know you went to Cornell and, you know, your student years and coming back and joining your family business. Walk us through it all.
Okay. So, hospitality is something that really just came very naturally to me because probably because of my upbringing. I mean, my great grandfather started the Oberoi Group of Hotels, and every generation since then has been involved in hospitality. So I'm the fourth generation now of hoteliers in my family.
Wow.
And I had a quite an unusual sort of childhood. I actually I was born in Bombay, and I lived at the Oberoi in Bombay for till I was about 6 years old.
Oh,
so
wow.
that was my home. And at the risk of sounding like a complete brat, I was like that child walking around the lobby like it was her living room, and it kind of was.
You were the mascot. You were the Oberoi mascot.
So I remember every time I would pass by the lobby, you know, I would cross these guest relations ladies, and I would get a little, you know, candy or a gift. So I was the baby of the hotel. That was fun. I'm sure my mom has some fun stories about how bratty I was, but I'll leave those out of it for now. Let's just say, thank God I turned out semi-normal despite this unusual childhood. But all in all, it's really, I would say it's been a life of hoteliers, by hoteliers and for hoteliers for me. It's, you know, everything from how we live to how we build our homes, how we furnish our homes, how we conduct ourselves, everything is sort of done through a lens of, you know, how it's done in hotels. So it's been very easy to fall into this as a career. But I didn't want to do it just because it was easy and comfortable. I wanted to kind of make sure that I had a passion for it, and it's something that I really could do my whole life. So what I did was I took a gap year in between school and Cornell, and I actually worked in a hotel for a year.
Oh.
And I figured out it was very different to what I had imagined. Obviously, it's not all the glitz and glam that you see from the outside. It's a lot of hard work. It's, you know, standing on your feet for 12 to 15 hours a day and mostly uncomfortable sort of shoes. And it's a lot of, you know, sacrificed nights and weekends and holidays. And those are the times when all your friends are out having fun. And those are the times when the hotels are actually busiest. So right. You have to work. But at the end of the day, I found it really satisfying to be involved with something that was appreciated so much by so many people every day. Mm-hmm. You know, luxury hospitality is meant to impress. It's meant to surprise. It's meant to delight. So these are the things that I enjoyed being a part of, I guess. So then I applied to Cornell, and I went off. At that time, it was, and I think it still is, the best hotel school in the world. If my hotel-y friends are watching, I know they'll back me up on that loud and proud. So I graduated in 2008 from Cornell. The plan was always to stay out and work outside, but it was a difficult year. So I came back in 2008 to India just to buy some time and look for some more opportunities, possibly outside of the US and other places around the world. And while I was looking, I just sort of started going to work to help out my dad and occupy my time. And I guess I got so involved that here I am 12 years later.
Wow.
And that's
so incredible. But I mean, that's amazing that you actually went out there and you got your hands dirty and you kind of learned the ropes of the business, because like you said, it's not all glitz and glamour. Usually when it comes to hospitality, whether it is, you know, something that I do, which is curation of experiences and travel and, you know, high-end luxury travel, people look at it through this lens of, oh my God, this is so glamorous. But there's a lot that goes behind the scenes
that
nobody, you know, knows about. So that's such a great story. And Ashika, you mentioned that you're a fourth generation hotelier. And of course, you went to a top hospitality school, and it's in your DNA. Hospitality is in your DNA. But what was your, I want to know at a personal level, what was it like working, you know, with your father, Mr. Ashok Khanna, as a mentor? You know, he's a pioneer in luxury wellness in India. Yeah. So what was that, you know, share us like a learning that you kind of got from him as you started working, when you came back and you started working with him?
Look, I mean, when he started Ananda, everyone thought he's crazy because he was coming from a place like the Oberoi, which is, you know, luxury hospitality at its best. But when he started Ananda, it was something completely different. It was health and wellness. People never understood it at that time. He built it in this middle of nowhere, you know, place, which there was no really easy way to get to it at that time. So everyone thought he was a bit nuts. When you look back now, it was obviously a very sort of gutsy and visionary sort of move. So I think that's one thing that I've learned from him is be bold and be brave and take risks and, you know, hopefully it works out for the best. But yeah.
So be bold. So that's great advice. Like to be bold. And obviously, back when he started, which was two decades ago, wellness in India wasn't what it is today. You know, it's kind of evolved in the last two decades. And like you said, you know, coming from the Oberoi and starting a wellness retreat, like you know, by the Ganga in you know, close to Rishikesh, people must be like, what is this concept? What's going on? So talk about the process of how wellness has transformed and, you know, kind of the evolution of wellness as far as the Indian market is concerned. And, you know, as far as Indians are concerned, now more and more Indians are traveling for wellness, which wasn't the case, say, even like 15 years ago, you know. So now they're dedicated holidays where people, all they want to do is want to take care of themselves and get centered, mind, body and spirit.
I still think we have a long way to go. So let me try and answer this question by first highlighting why there's a need for this education in India to kind of bring people to the same place where they are in the West. I still think that level of understanding is not quite there yet. And the reason for that is because there's really a link between the evolution of lifestyles and economic evolution. So if you think about, they really move hand in hand. And if you think about industrialization and when that happened in the West, and you compare that with where they are now in terms of the lifestyle, there's a huge difference. And the reason I'm talking about all this is because in India, I think we're still a bit behind in that evolutionary process. You know, at that time, post-industrialization, in the West, people were overworked. This concept of burnout started to really become a huge problem. And then people started to understand after a while that, the importance of taking care of themselves. Companies started to see the correlation between health and efficiency. Insurance companies started to cover holidays of this kind because it would prevent future illnesses. And after all this evolution is when they've actually come to a level of understanding that they have now about health and wellness. And I think India is still not there. So it was up to early entrants like us to actually, you know, seed the market, educate the market about the importance of actually investing in yourself, in your own health and health and well-being, and the importance of taking holidays of this kind. I think in India, people are still overworked. There's still a lot of families and companies that work 6 or 7 days a week and long, long hours. And so the concept of holidays are still to kind of blow off steam and, you know, have a great time and no rules and just have fun and then come back. And then oftentimes what happens is either you're coming back very similar to how you left, or you come back even more tired than when you left. So I think we've seen a shift in the last 3-4 years, but I think it's a long process of education. But hopefully, I think on the other side of this pandemic, I'm expecting to see much bigger changes.
I think this year, one learning that's kind of, you know, just has been hammered into all of us is like the importance of health, you know, and wellness and just being centered. And that's so important. I think more and more people, we're getting more and more requests now as people are getting a little more comfortable to kind of travel a little bit, even, you know, to places, obviously, to hotels or destinations where they feel it's safe to travel to. We're getting a lot of requests for wellness experiences. And I think that's definitely going to be on an uprise, you know, in 2021 as well. So Ashika, we spoke about it the other day that, you know, you guys have been like taking in all the awards. And I mean, I think it's like year after year after year, like the best spa, like Condé Nast Traveler, India. So you've been winning consecutively. And congratulations, I know you've won a few international awards off late as well, and which kind of pits you against the best of the best in the world. So it's kind of like, it almost like we take a lot of like personal pride because this is like a homegrown wellness brand and it's like out there and like best in the world. It's like, you know, as being Indian myself and, you know, we go abroad to all these different, you know, travel consortiums, and we see Ananda doing so well. It just like all of us kind of take this pride in it, right?
Oh,
so it is, it's such a great feeling. But how do you now, you know, given that there's so much competition now, when you started out, you were the pioneers, you still are in terms of how wellness has evolved over the last 2 decades, but there is obviously more competition now. How do you ensure, how do you stay on top?
That's a very tough question to answer. But I think it's just, I mean, you just have to be at it all the time. It's consistency. You have to go deeper and deeper, you know, into your roots, whatever your roots may be. And it's a constant process of research and educating yourself and being abreast with what's happening in the world. Constant evolution, especially in the field of health and wellness, because things are changing so much. But there's so much happening that you have to make sure to kind of stay true to your roots, because you don't want to go in a direction which might not make sense for the brand DNA or the philosophy. So it's just constant, consistent work and evolution, I'd say.
Yeah. So there's also been, you know, this renewed focus as far as our brand Ananda is concerned. And, you know, there's more kind of focus on sustainability practices and, you know, giving back to the local communities, which is so great. I mean, we've seen in the last year or so, like a lot of brands have pivoted, but you've always been in that realm of like sustainability and giving back to the community. So even in that sense, you guys definitely are leaders. You know, as far as sustainable practices are concerned. So, Ashika, tell me, what's a day in the life of a wellness entrepreneur? Give us your wellness mantra. Has like the Ananda way of life kind of entrenched in your day-to-day rituals as well?
No, I mean, I'm really no wellness guru. My friends will tell you that for sure. But I think we're all just a bunch of folks trying to get by here, and we do the best that we can. Ananda has actually taught me everything that I know about wellness. But that being said, I'm a big believer of this concept of balance. So it's something that's universally known and applied. So some people may refer to it as moderation. In Buddhism, they may call it the middle path. In physics, they call it equilibrium. Ayurveda is actually even built around this concept of balance. What Ayurveda says is that all the elements of your body have to be in balance for somebody to be said to be healthy. Your vata, pitta, and kapha dosha need to be balanced for you to be truly healthy. So balance, it's an important concept for me. You know, I would say how I live is balance your meals with a little bit of everything. I don't like crash diets of any kind. I've never done it. Don't deprive yourself of anything, you know, food-wise or otherwise. Balance your exercise with rest, balance work with breaks. Balance your stress with downtime, balance familiar stuff with adventurous stuff, push yourself out of your comfort zone every now and again. That's important. Broaden your horizons, balance the old and new. So balance your, I mean, have your old friends, but keep meeting new people always. Yeah. That's important to me, because everything that goes up will come down, but it's that middle path that will actually take you the furthest. That's what I think.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's so important, Ashika, and that you touched upon, like, you know, being centered and the middle path. And that's kind of so deeply entrenched in Ayurveda and, you know, kind of the Indian way of being, Buddhism, like, you know, just being in the middle, being centered, or taking this, not too much of anything is bad. I feel like everybody else is kind of catching on, but we have this ancient wisdom of kind of being, you know, on the middle path, which is such a, you know, it's like a huge, you know, like a treasure of wisdom that we have about being centered. So Ashika, you spoke a little bit about, you know, hospitality trends earlier, that how they're changing and they're forever changing. This year, like, you know, considering we've been in lockdown and there's been a lot that the hospitality industry at large have been through. Any insights that might have come in this year? I know, I mean, you guys, I mean, Ananda, there's still people going to Ananda and, you know, taking advantage of all your facilities and your different wellness experiences. But has something kind of changed in this year? Any new insights that you might have had?
Yeah, lots, actually. So, I mean, First, Ananda was closed for about 4 months, from April to end of July. the first few weeks, we were really kind of navigating, you know, what's going on, how long is this going to last, how do we sustain ourselves, how do we, you know, support our staff through this. So I'm happy to say that we have been able to support our staff all the way till we reopened. So that's something that we were quite proud of. But we very quickly realized that, sorry, this is, there's a mosquito. We very quickly realized that there's a great opportunity here to actually help people when they need us the most. You know, people were in their houses, stressed out, worried if they're going to be able to hold on to their jobs or not, living these very sedentary lifestyles. They were looking for guidance in this really uncertain time, and people were scared, and people were also sick and dying. So we looked at ourselves and what did we have to offer? You know, we looked at our pillars, which is Ayurveda and yoga. And we said, okay, let's go online. Let's start doing consultations with people. We were doing yoga classes, meditation classes. Our doctors were online consulting with people on how to improve their lifestyles, how to eat healthy and how to be healthy, even though they were stuck at home, and really guiding them on this path to well-being. And that's what Ayurveda is actually about. It's a long-term journey. It's not a sort of quick fix. So we were engaged with people over the course of this 3-4 months, and we were amazed actually with the results that people were able to achieve. And in fact, it was so successful that this is something that we're going to continue even after we're open. I tell people that I think lockdown was the most expensive training program for digital adoption in the whole world. Something that was achieved in 3 months, I think we wouldn't have been able to do in even 5 or 6 or 7 years. So another benefit that's come out of this is that people are so familiar with technology now that it's allowing Ananda to connect with people well before they come in, to gather history and data and, you know, stuff about their lives, so that when they come in, they're able to actually make the most of their stay. And then we can continue that contact with them well after they leave, because like I said, wellness is not a one trip holiday thing. It's a lifestyle. It's, you know, you're going to need guidance your whole life. So it's a very powerful thing to for us to be able to engage with them well after they leave as well.
No, that's so true. When you say about, you know, digitization and adopting technology, I think so many businesses have had to do this. And you're right, you know, in the normal circumstances, this whole process would have taken much longer. And I think we've all kind of thrown in the deep end, and we had to quickly kind of adapt and, you know, get on this bandwagon and kind of do it really quickly, right?
Yeah.
So what is your vision, you know, going forward for Brand Ananda, you know, in the coming years now?
Yeah, so how I see it panning out is it's a sort of twofold strategy. One is to really make Ananda more accessible to more people around the world. Now, that could be, you know, via meaningful brand extensions. The only one thing that's really important is to do whatever you do with Brand Ananda in a very careful, meaningful way, while maintaining integrity of the brand and the DNA, you know. So whether it's brand extensions of some sort or expansion in certain select international destinations, that could be one option. I think Southeast Asia is a great fit for Ananda. It's something that I've been looking at personally for a while now. There are a lot of cultural similarities. The dominant Buddhist culture is very interesting. There's a lot of Eastern healing traditions that Ananda can adopt, and that could be very powerful as well. It's a place of great natural beauty, and that's something that's very important. Ananda is so integrated with nature that that wherever we go, that's going to be something really important to look at for sure. It could also be a different type of hospitality venture, something that's, you know, appeals to a much younger audience, something that really champions this idea of community building, championing the cause of yoga and yoga related concepts. So these are all actually, I'm not plucking these out of thin air. These are all fun concepts which we've actually been toying with and working with, and we'll see where that takes us. It's exciting.
I think that's an incredible, because Because as far, what is, I'm just curious, what is your average guest age at Ananda?
Now I would say, well, let's take 2019 as an example. I would say it's around somewhere between 35 and 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I think now, I think more young, even the younger people are much into, say, wellness when we were, say, 10 or 15 years ago at the point that we were at, our generation. So I think that's a fantastic idea. If you have some sort of an offering for, like, the younger guests, that's something, I think that's great. And any, I don't know if you're allowed to disclose this, but where in Southeast Asia or what destinations are you looking at for these expansions? Are you allowed to say?
We're looking at all destinations. We haven't zeroed in on anything as yet. So if anyone's watching who has some exciting piece of land or exciting project for me to look at, please shoot it by me.
Wow, that sounds amazing. So you have like Ananda's all over the globe. So that sounds really amazing. So Ashika, what advice would you give your younger self, or what advice you wish you had been given at key points in your career? Anything you'd like to share?
That I wish I'd been given. I think I've been guided.
Or in retrospect, yeah.
I don't know about guidance, but one thing which I sort of regret is being given the opportunity to actually work outside India for a bit. I never got that chance, but I think that's something I would like to do. And I would have liked to have the opportunity to actually work outside my family business for a bit also, which I didn't have the chance to do, unfortunately. But yeah.
But I mean, at least you started really early, which is also a great thing. You kind of dived right into it right after college. Yeah. So that's always so you have so many more years of work experience working for your own, hospitality brand. So Ashika, you would probably agree when I say that we are nothing but the sum total of our experiences. And of course, hospitality is in your DNA, and I would say travel and hospitality is part of you. What kind of experiences do you seek to feel more alive? Like, what is that? What is it that you love when it comes to like travel experiences or in general?
Well, one thing which I love to do is I love to experience new cultures. So I like to go to destinations which have some kind of rich cultural heritage. I'm also a bit of a beach bum, so I love the beach. So that's always something that I enjoy to do. But like just to give you an example, one of my favorite countries in the world is Sri Lanka. I love smaller, more intimate hotel experiences, and I think Sri Lanka has a lot of that. The big brands are starting to go there now, but there's still some amazing small personal hotels run by incredible people. It's a microcosm of art, architecture, design, melting pot of cultures, and that Dutch influence which they've preserved so well is also very interesting. And I think it has a little bit of everything, all within driving distance, from beaches, ancient ruins, national forests, tea gardens. So that's the kind of holiday that I enjoy.
Lovely. And it's so, I mean, proximity wise, it's so close to us. And Sri Lanka is in the process of opening, right? So, I mean, that's somewhere like we could also travel to now in the coming weeks. So really excited about that. So what's the first place you're going to head to, say, if you could travel like right away?
I think I would right away, if I could go to Sri Lanka, I would go to Sri Lanka. But I think the only place you can go right now is Dubai and the Maldives.
Yes.
So I think absolutely. Well, my sister lives in Dubai, so she'll probably kill me for saying that. But
no, absolutely. Everybody's whoever can travel right now. I think these are the two destinations that are most easily accessible from India. So absolutely. And thank you so much, Ashika.
Thank you very much. Lovely chatting with you.
Before I let you go, any parting words or anything you'd like to share with us before you leave?
No, I think you've got it all, actually.
Thank you so much. We at Encompass Experiences, we feel so strongly about wellness experiences, and we love Ananda and the Himalayas and what it stands for, in the global wellness space. So all the very best. We have our eyes peeled for your future plans, expansion plans.
Thank you very much.
And all the best for that.
An invitation, you must visit the first chance you get.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I've been there, but it's been, like I was sharing, it's been a decade. So hopefully soon. And thank you so much for that. And Merry Christmas. And I wish you a very happy year end.
Same to you as well, Karuna.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. And thank you, everybody, for who's tuned in. And thank you for your time and support. I'm happy to take a few questions if you guys have any questions. And as 2020 comes to a close, I mean, let's take a moment to be grateful to everyone who's touched our lives and made it happier, made us, we're in a happy place because of a lot of people. So what? We couldn't travel as much we wanted to, and so what? That we couldn't really, spend a lot of time with our friends and family as we might have wanted to, but let's focus on what indeed we could do, and that is, that we survived, and to be alive, that's the greatest reason to celebrate, right? So here's wishing all of you a very happy New Year and a Merry Christmas, and I wish you an amazing 2021 filled with incredible and impactful experiences where we can immerse, connect, and inspire. And thank you for letting Encompass Experiences be a part of your journey. See you guys, see you all in the new year. And we'll see you guys soon. Hi, I'm just gonna go through the chat and see if there are any questions. Oh, this was Ashika Khanna. She's the director at Ananda in the Himalayas. So yes, we just spoke to her. She had a great story of how it started. She's like a fourth generation hotelier. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you for joining in. And watch this space. We have some exciting stuff coming up and some announcements that we're making in a couple of weeks about some small group journeys. And we shall see you guys soon. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks.